Good morning, Bethlehem Church. Super excited about that series coming up. Pastor Jason will be back with us next week. In fact, this is probably, especially in the season that we are in, one of the more important series that we've done in a long time. So make sure that you mark that on your calendar. Make sure, more importantly, that you are here. But first of all, why don't you, in the room here at 316, why don't you join me in welcoming those who are with us at 211 and the Oconee campus. Super excited. And online, we're super excited that you are with us. We are wrapping up a series called Victory, and it's been a really, really fun series to teach because the Apostle Paul does something that's very helpful for all of us. He uses the natural to teach the supernatural. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, specifically chapter 6, we've been looking at the armor of God. And the reason why it's so important that we're familiar with this is because you and I are in a battle. We are in a very real battle facing an enemy that we cannot see. And that battle can be won, but not in our own strength. And so the Apostle Paul is actually writing this letter to us. He's writing it from prison. And he's writing it surrounded by Roman guards. And we've talked about this throughout the series. And again, he takes the natural, which is the Roman guard's armor, and teaches the supernatural. And so to get us all caught up on that, we're going to look at it one final time. Ephesians chapter 6, and here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, therefore, put on every piece, don't leave any off, of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. He says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. We talked about that in week one. And the body armor, or the breastplate of God's righteousness. He says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, which is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. And put on salvation as your helmet. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. But what Paul is instructing us to do is to put on the armor for a very real reason. Every single day, you and I are in a battle. Every day. And here's what we need to know about our enemy. Our enemy does not relinquish. He does not give up, and he does not tire. Every single day, we are in a battle. He is very persistent. And so what Paul is saying is you and I need to put on God's armor. We've got to put on the armor of God. Now, we're not putting on this armor so that we can win a costume contest, okay? We're not putting on this armor so that we can go door to door asking for candy. This is a battle. It's real. It's life or death. Your kids are in this battle. You are in this battle. We are all in this battle together. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever noticed, especially true in sports, when we think about armor, oftentimes we think about, you know, sports. For example, I'm a huge sports fan. I know many of you probably watching this, you're a huge sports fan. I love to watch football, but my favorite sport to play, in fact, my kids ask me this all the time, what's your favorite sport to play? Well, at 44 years old, my favorite sport to play is golf, right? I mean, that's... You know, I'm not out there playing tackle football, you know, with the boys 44 years old, okay? That's not the way it works. I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, you should love golf. Fall in love with golf, okay? You can play it a very long time. But I love to play golf. And if you've ever noticed, there's two types of people in sports, not just golf, but all sports. There's people that look the part, and then there's people that play the part. There's people that look the part, and there's people that play the part. Now, the first one, you don't know the second one at first, okay? You got to observe them in action. But as a golfer, there's so many times where you'll be waiting on, you know, the first tee. There's a foursome out in front of you that's teeing off, and you'll be sitting back and you're waiting, and you'll see this guy get out of the golf cart. I mean, he's dressed to the nines. I mean, he looks like Tiger Woods, looks like a professional golfer, like he's got a sponsorship or something. You know what I mean? He goes around to his bag, and he's got the latest and greatest. He gets out the $500 driver, and he's kind of loosening up, and he grabs his Titleist Pro V1 ball, and he goes up to the first tee, and he puts that tee in the ground, puts his ball on it, and then he gets ready, and he looks really good. He addresses the ball, and you're like, this guy's going to kill it. And then the next, you've seen this over and over. He hits a dribbler that goes about 50 yards, doesn't even pass the senior tees, okay? You know what I mean? Or he slices it so bad, it ends up in the next, you know, zip code, okay? I mean, like that guy, okay? I'm that guy, by the way. That's me, okay? A lot of times I look the part, and then when I swing, man, you know, it's not always, you know, I'm not always playing the part. But that is the picture right there. That's the picture. The people who, there's people who look the part, there's people who play the part. I think what the Apostle Paul would say to us today, he would say this. There are a lot of us as Christians that we look the part. We just don't play the part. Man, we look the part, but we don't always play the part. We got the Jesus fish on our cars. We just don't drive like it, right? That's why I don't have a Jesus fish on my car, okay? You know what I mean? I know. There's people that look the part. There's people that's a little too personal. I'm sorry. Like, some of you are like, that's me. I get it. Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6, know your enemy. Understand, we have to go on the offense. It's not just good enough that we are playing from a defensive posture. We have to go on the offense. And actually, the last two things he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're going to talk about it. And he talks about prayer. Both of those things are offensive weapons. They're offensive weapons. We go on the offense with those two things. And today, we're going to talk about prayer. And we don't talk a lot about prayer all the time, but it's assumed that we all pray. But we're gonna give you something I think that's gonna be very, very helpful for you today. But listen, this enemy that we are facing, he is real. He is a great enemy. In fact, here's what Paul says in verse 18. He says, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Then he says this, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. Why does he say stay alert? Because your enemy is always around. He always knows where you are. He is always waiting for you to compromise, find yourself in a compromising position so that he can pounce on you. And throughout the New Testament, we see story after story after story that talks about the staying alert, staying alert. In fact, one of my favorite passages is from a man by the name of Peter, one of my favorite disciples. A lot of us love, if you grew up in church, you love Peter because he's a lot like us. He messes up a lot. You know, he puts his foot in his mouth more than he should. But there's one time that he's famous for. He's actually famous for denying Jesus. So when the battle got the most heated, when Jesus was being arrested, taken away, the disciples, they dispersed. And then Peter was asked three times, hey, aren't you that guy that hangs out with the guy that's being put on trial? Aren't you that guy? And three times, you know the story, many of you do, he denied it. So when the battle got the most heated, he denied. In other words, he let his guard down. He didn't stay alert like he should have. And so with that in mind, you think about this. He writes this in 1 Peter. He says this to all of us. He says, stay alert. Listen, I've been there. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. He adds an emphasis. He doesn't just say, hey, your enemy. He says, your great enemy. This is the enemy. It's not a person. Your enemy is not a person. Your enemy is a spirit. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now listen, at all of our campuses, I want to say that again. He is looking for someone to what? Devour. Let's say it again. Acone 2:11. He is looking for someone to what? Devour. He doesn't want to take a bite out of you. He didn't want to just mess with you. He wants to devour you. Standing firm against him and be strong in your faith. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Now, I love the picture that Peter gives us about our enemy. He says our enemy is like a roaring lion. Now, there's a couple times in my life that I've gotten a chance to actually see lions in the wild. One of my favorite places in all of the world is East Africa, specifically Uganda and Kenya. I spent a lot of time there. Love the culture, love the people. But on both occasions, I got a chance to actually go on a safari. And if you've never been on a safari in the Serengeti, there's nothing. I mean, it's literally probably the greatest thing that I've ever done or been to. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so if you've never done this before, here's what I want you to imagine. Imagine a zoo, okay, so where there's animal. It's kind of like that, except without walls. and the animals can eat you, okay? So, like, that's a safari. Literally, you're like in a Jeep with some people, and you're right up close. And I love lions, always have. And I'll never forget the first time that I actually saw a pride of lions after they had killed a zebra. And we came right up on it. I mean, it was incredible. In fact, with my iPhone, I captured a video, and this is just a little bit of that video right here. This is actually the Serengeti. They're chowing down. That's a zebra leg right there, so that's real. That's a Big Zach snack in Africa, okay? So that's what they're eating. They're chowing down. Some of you are like, that's so sad. Well, hey, in the words of Mufasa, it's the circle of life, right? So it's the circle of life. But it was amazing. But also on that same day, this is what's crazy. On that same day, we saw a rare interaction between two male lions. In fact, they were brothers. And our guide told us, he said they're about 3 years old. And this is like literally National Geographic stuff. So I captured a picture and we saw this interaction between two brothers that were together for the last time before they would leave and before they would go start their own pride. And this is a picture. Actually took this picture right here. How amazing is that? That's two brothers right there. It's in the Serengeti. I mean, just unbelievable. We're about 12 feet away or so when we took that picture. But that is lions. I mean, they're unbelievable. Well, here's the other part of the story that I'll share with you, okay, without getting too personal. So we're in Africa. It's hot. We're out in this Jeep. There's about 10 of us. And again, we're in the Serengeti. So we're driving around and, you know, we're supposed to drink a lot of water, which I was doing my part. I was drinking a lot of water. But about halfway through the day, I was like, okay, I drank a lot of water. Now, I got a problem. I need to go to the bathroom, okay? And just in case you're wondering, there's not like rest stops you can pull over in the Serengeti to go to the bathroom, okay? And so I thought, I'm not going to make it. Like, it got that serious. And so finally, I slipped up the front. I told the driver, I said, sir, I hate to do it. I got to go to the bathroom. And he goes, no problem. This happens all the time. I'll take care of it. And so I said, great. So I slipped back, trying to be discreet about it. And then he takes us out. He takes us out in the middle of Serengeti. And he stops the Jeep, and he says, hey, we're the guy who needs to go to the bathroom, you can go right here. I was like, oh, now that's me. So, now thankfully I wasn't the only one. But so I go up to the front, I'm like, sir, like we're in the middle, literally in the middle of vastness here. Can you find a tree that I can be a little more discreet, a little less exposed, if you know what I mean? Like just go. And he goes, I'll never forget this, still cracks me up. He said, he goes, hey, you remember those lions you saw earlier? And I said, yeah. He goes, their favorite food isn't zebra. Their favorite food is white meat. And I said, fair enough, let me out. So a little embarrassment's okay. But he said this, and again, man, I just stuck with me. He said, here's the things about lions. Here's the thing about lions. You don't always see them, but they always see you. They know you're there. That is the picture. We talk about our enemy. That is the picture. That's why it says stay alert. Here's the point. I want you to write this down. The point is, if we don't pray, we will find ourselves as the prey. If you and I don't pray consistently, we will find ourselves as the prey. And I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that, you know, for you to worry. I say that for you to really to tap into the power of prayer. The power of prayer. The power of prayer means that we are praying. Scripture says again, it said we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's how we pray. That's where our power comes from. That's how we tap into that power. The supernatural. Again, we're in a supernatural battle, so therefore it requires us to pray. But here's what I think we often do. This is me. So this is me raising my hand. I'm guilty more times than not. This is true. We often pray out of habit rather than in the Spirit. Like we often pray out of habit rather than in the Spirit. Like we're good at praying out of habit. Like we pray before our meals. We pray before bedtime. We pray, you know, before trips. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Here's the problem. If we're not specific about our prayer, then we're not tapping into the power of what prayer is. I wrote this down because this may be helpful. Disciplined prayer is specific prayer. Disciplined prayer, taking time to pray, is specific prayer, and specific prayer is powerful prayer. It's very, very powerful. Again, it's how we go on the offense rather than from a posture of defense. And what I want to do just for the next few minutes, I want to give you something I think will be incredibly practical and incredibly helpful. Because a lot of times when we talk about prayer, we just think, okay, I'm just supposed to pray. But did you know there's actually different types of prayer? And Scripture actually gives us three different types of prayers that we should be praying. And I want to give you this, okay? And I think this will be helpful for you to apply to your life. Here's the first one. The first one is upward prayer. And upward prayer is both praise and thanksgiving. That's upward prayer. We should always start with upward prayer. If you go back to the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Great be your name. What's that acknowledging? It's acknowledging God first before we ever get to anything else. That's upward prayer. It's praise and thanksgiving. So let me give you a picture of this. The reason why we come, and you may have wondered this, like why do we worship together? Why do we come? Why do we sing? The reason why we do that is because this is upward prayer. It's praise and thanksgiving. When you worship and we engage in worship, you are offering prayers of thanksgiving to God. That's prayer. The reason why we sing, the reason why we gather corporately and we sing together, it is prayer. We are praying to God through song. It goes all the way back to the children of Israel. It goes back to David, would pray through music. That is a form of prayer. It's the reason why you and I have to engage in the prayer. It's why we put lyrics on the screen. When you go to a concert, they don't put lyrics in the screen because you're there to listen to somebody sing. But when you're gathering at worship, you are gathering together to pray together, to worship together. And so your worship leaders, listen, they're not up here because they have the best voice. They're up here to just lead you, not just to sing to you. They're up here to lead you into battle. And we talk about the enemy. We talk about the armor of God. We're talking about a spiritual battle. So when we are praising and we are worshiping together, our worship leaders are actually leading us into battle. That's the picture. That's why we sing. And let me say this, just personally, if you're watching, you know, online, we're so glad you're with us. But so many times online, I think what we can do is we can just watch it and not participate in it. That's not praise and worship. We are called to pray and to worship, to offer God praise through song. That's the picture. Now, there's a really, really cool picture of this in the Old Testament. Okay, and some of you are like, I knew you were going to say that. There's a really cool picture of the Old Testament, the Book of Chronicles. Okay, and I was going to share that story with you, but I thought it'd be best to have Pastor Joel, our worship pastor, come out and share this with you. So listen to this, such a cool picture of why we pray.
Thank you, man. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible about worship. So King Jehoshaphat finds out that three armies have come together. None of these armies like each other, but they decided that they hate Judah more than they dislike each other, and they said, let's go kill them. So Jehoshaphat finds out that these three armies have come together, and they're coming to destroy us. And so Jehoshaphat begins to pray. He calls for the people to pray and fast, and then they all come together in this assembly. And while they're crying out to God, trying to ask God what to do, one of the men in the assembly stands up. His name is Jehaziel, and he says, this is what the Lord says for us to do. He said, tomorrow, just show up, and God's going to win. You won't have to fight. You won't have to do anything, and just show up. And then he says, they're going to come up the ascent of Ziz, which was this secret way. And so it's kind of like he was revealing the enemy's plan of where they were coming. He says, so just show up. God's going to give you victory. So Jehoshaphat begins to celebrate and assigns for all of his worshipers to go out in front of the army, heading towards the enemy, singing, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. Now, I deal with musicians and worship leaders on a regular basis, and I always have this picture in my mind is if we had a day where we were assigned to head towards the enemy with the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines behind us, head towards the enemy, and we're going to sing, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. How many of my singers would have a sore throat that day? And I that's always my picture of these guys heading towards the enemy, singing, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. And the Bible says that when they got to that ascent and looked down, what had happened was God turned them all against each other. They didn't like each other anyway. And by the time they got there to fight Judah, it says not one person was alive. Everyone was dead. So worship and thankfulness, it's not only a tool, it's one of the most powerful weapons we have against the enemy.
Yeah, I love that.
Leave it to the pro now.
Hey, man, you preach better than I sing, for sure. So, for sure. Hey, listen, let's thank Pastor Joel. I love that. And so that's why we pray. That's why we worship together. We are in a battle. That's the picture. But listen, here's what I know, and you know. You can lose perspective in seasons. Like, you can lose perspective, especially in a season that we're in right now. It's really easy to lose perspective. And so praying and worshiping, you know what it does? It resets our perspective. It resets that. And one of the things that I often have to do, especially when I get, you know, all out of sorts, and I lose perspective, is I have to think about my thank God list. And I would encourage you to do this. If you lost perspective, here's what you can do. You can offer up a prayer to God. You can get out a list, and it can be your thank God list. This is mine, okay? Just a few of my things. Like, these are the things that come to God. God, I thank you. I thank you for my spouse. I thank you for Lindsay. I thank you for her consistency in my life, her love. I thank you that we are in it together. I thank you for my parents who laid a foundation for us, who's still serving faithfully. I thank you for them. Thank you for my kids. I thank you for my kid, man, all four of them. I thank you for them. Like, there's nobody I'd rather be around than my family. I thank you so much for their life. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for my friends. I thank you, God, that you literally brought people in my life that when things get rough, man, they're there with me through thick and thin. I thank you for my church. Thank you for Bethlehem Church. I thank you for you, the people. That's the picture, that we're in this together. We're not alone. And I love the fact that the church is the bride of Christ. I'm thankful for that. And guess what? Jesus is going to protect his bride. You don't have to worry. That's when we talk about a spiritual battle. Jesus is going to protect his bride. And all hell can go against the church, come up against it, but it's not going to overcome. That's the church. I'm thankful. I thank you for my meal. Literally, one of the things that I pray so often is that, God, I thank you for this meal. I know not everybody gets to enjoy a meal like this. I know for some people in some places in the world, give us today our daily bread is a reality. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That is upward prayer. That's the picture. But there's a second thing I want to give you. Here it is. And this is important, inward prayer. Inward prayer is both self-examination and confession. It's self-examination and confession. In other words, you and I have to do some work. We've got to build into our discipline certain routines, awareness of what we are doing. And by the way, awareness requires margin. Awareness requires margin. So you and I can't fill up our schedules with all of this stuff if we're gonna practice inward prayer. Like, we have to create margin for this. And by creating margin, then we examine our lives. We examine ourselves. God, where am I messing up? You know how many times God's brought to my mind, like, hey, what you said in front of your kids, how you reacted, like, that's wrong? You know how many times I've had to go to my kids and say, hey, listen, I need you to forgive Dad. The way I responded in this circumstance is not the way I want you to respond when you grow up. It was a bad example. Please forgive me. Like, over and over, that self-examination. But again, what Paul does here is so powerful. He connects the sword of the Spirit, which he compares to a Roman sword. He connects the sword of the Spirit, and we talked about this last week, to prayer. And if you remember, Pastor Jason talked about a Roman sword was about 18 inches long. It was used for close combat. And it also possessed a double edge to the blade. And that double edge is important. Because in the book of Hebrews, it actually compares the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. These things are hand in hand. Offensive weapon right here. the Bible. Know it, cherish it, hide it in your heart. Jesus used it when to go on the offense. The word of God is like a double-edged sword. In fact, in Hebrews, I'm going to use this as a pointer. I like it right here. Here we go. Hebrews, it's dangerous. Hebrews says this, for the word of God is alive. I'm going to carry this every single week. I'm going to use this from here on now on. So, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's what the word of God does. So the word of God is a blade. It cuts to our innermost thoughts, our desires. It reveals things about us. And that's why, listen, that's why Paul connects the spirit, the sword of the spirit, the word of God with prayer. He's saying the two are hand go hand in hand. In my house, here's what we would say. It's like peanut butter and jelly. It's like sugar and sweet tea. It's like milk and cookies, okay? You can't separate the two. They go hand in hand. And because if we remove this, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God from our prayer life, you know what? We won't know what to do. We won't know how to pray. We won't know who to pray to. We won't know what God's word says about this. That's the important part of it. And I wrote this down, and I want you to get this. The foundation of prayer, this is not in your notes, but you may want to write it down. The foundation of prayer is knowing what God has already said. Let me say that again. The foundation of prayer is knowing what God has already said, and then watch this, and doing it. And doing it. There's a powerful quote by Lisa Bavare. It says, obedience is the highest form of spiritual warfare. Obedience is the highest form of spiritual warfare because it's not just looking the part, it's playing the part. That's the picture right there. Obedience, I love that, is the highest form of spiritual warfare. And if we don't know what God's word has said, then we won't know how to pray or what to pray for. I'll never forget early on in my ministry, I was serving at a church, and actually it was the first Sunday. And similar to the way things are here, we had a prayer team down front at the end, and I was down here at the front, and not here, but another church, and I was praying with some individuals, and I'll never forget, a lady came down to me. She was sobbing. She was crying her eyes out. And she came and she said, Pastor, would you please pray for me? I said, absolutely. And so I just said, hey, how can I pray for you? I'll never forget what she said. She said, would you pray that the man I'm having an affair with would leave his wife and marry me? And listen, in all sincerity, emotional, heartfelt, she meant it. And here's what I said to her. I said, look, what you are asking me to pray, God has already spoken against. What you are asking me to pray for, God has already spoken against. Now listen, she just didn't know what the word of God said. Man, I don't blame her. I don't judge her, chastise her. She just didn't know what God's word said. She was being led by emotions and feelings and not by the word of God. It can happen to any of us. It's the way we justify sin in our lives. It's the way we justify sin in our lives. It's so important. But for us to learn to have this type of knowledge of God's word requires margin, requires space. But it also requires self-examination. And I think a lot of times the reason why we don't set aside margin or time is the last thing we want to think about is us. I mean, we avoid this like avoiding the dentist or avoiding the doctor. You ever avoided the doctor and the dentist when you knew there was a problem? Like every time I bite down something, man, it hurts. I know I got a cavity. Well, you should probably go to the dentist. Nah, they're going to fix it. I hate dentists. It's like, okay, yeah, I get it. I get it, man, you know? Or, hey, you know, doctor, there's something going on. No, I just not. Why don't you go to the doctor? I just don't want to know. I don't want to go. Let me tell you what, it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. Same is true in our spiritual lives. It's not going to go away. Not knowing or admitting doesn't mean the issue goes away. It just means that they are going to surface in another way. anxiety, fear, depression, all of these things will begin to surface. So we have to deal with it. It requires margin. It requires inward prayer. It's very important. So there's upward prayer. It starts with God. There's inward self-examination. Here's the third one the Bible talks about. It talks about outward prayer. Outward prayer is both supplication and intercession. It's not words that we tend to use often, supplication and intercession. But it's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Here's what he says. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Again, here. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers. See, that's the picture right there. Stay consistent in your prayers. In other words, he's talking about inward discipline, that inward discipline leads to outward victory. So inward discipline leads to outward victory. Stay persistent in your prayers and pray for one another. This is important. This is important because we should be praying at all times. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray at all times. What does that mean? Does that mean when I'm driving down the road, like all of a sudden, like I close my eyes and start praying? No. That does not mean that. Please don't do that, okay? Put your life and my life in danger, okay? Do not do that. But it does mean you can pray. It does mean when you're driving down the road, you can pray. You can offer up prayers to God. And you're like, man, that'd be weird. I'd just be alone just talking to God. People look at me, they drive up next to me and think, this guy's crazy. No, they won't. It's called Bluetooth, okay? They're just gonna think that you're talking to somebody. It's all good, man. You're just talking to God. Pray at all times. Here's what that means. At all time, when God brings something to your attention, stop and pray for it. One of the disciplines that I started years and years ago is I stopped saying, hey, I'm just gonna pray for you, and started just praying right there for people. Do it all the time. All the time. In fact, on Thursday morning, my daughter came home early in the morning, or came downstairs early in the morning, and she came in the kitchen, and she was getting ready, and I asked her, I said, how's your day? You know, what do you got going on today? And she said, well, I got my speech today. And we had been talking about this speech for a while. It was a 5-minute speech, and she's in fifth grade, big deal. And I asked her a question. I said, are you ready? She said, yes, Dad, I'm ready. Are you prepared? Have you studied? And yes, Dad, I've prepared and I've studied. I said, okay, let's pray. So just right there in the kitchen, I just said a real short prayer for her. Just, I've got to pray that you give her wisdom, that you give her courage, that you give her memory recall. Just right there, real short prayer, said amen. That's the picture of praying at all times. We need to pray for one another. It's important. We can and should be praying for each other because we're not in the battle alone. We're not in the battle alone. And here's what I don't understand. Maybe someday you can help me with this. I don't understand how people say, you know what? I can do this relationship with God by myself. I don't understand it. I've heard the argument before, God, I worship God, I just do it on my own. I worship God, I just do it privately. It's not in Scripture. It's not there. It would be like a platoon leader going out into battle, okay? This platoon leader going out into battle, or somebody who's with a platoon going out into battle, looking at their platoon leader and saying this, saying, hey, I don't need the platoon. I'm gonna go and face the enemy on my own. It's crazy. That would be two things, all right? You ready? Prideful and stupid. Prideful and stupid. Because your enemy, again, as Scripture says, is a great enemy. He's a great enemy. And we aren't called to go into battle alone. Listen, we need the church. We need each other. We need it. It's not good enough. Listen, for a season, I get it, all the stuff that's going on. But I'm just telling you, in a season, it's okay. We're thankful for technology. Long term, listen, you need each other. We need each other. Being in the game, worshiping together, it's powerful, powerful, powerful. Why? Because wars aren't won in a moment. They're won over time. Wars aren't won in a moment. They're won over time. And listen, church, let me say this to you because I love you. The problem with us so many times we give up too quickly. We give up too quickly. Wars aren't won in a moment, they're won over time. Listen, your prayers that are being prayed, you may not see the answer in a moment, it may take time. But if you're praying in the will of God, your prayers are powerful. They're powerful. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't stop praying for your marriage. Don't stop praying for your kids. Don't stop praying for your spouse. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Your prayers are powerful. They matter. And here's the thing. You don't have to do it alone. You need to grab somebody else and you need to say, hey, I need you to pray alongside of me because I'm starting to lose faith. Would you pray with me? That's intercession. That's outward prayer. That's the picture of the community, the body, the church coming together, going, hey, listen, I get it, man. I get it. I lose perspective. I lose faith. But you know what? You're not in this alone, so I'm going to pray with you. And there's power in that. There's power in that. And what the enemy wants you to do, watch this, the enemy wants you to give up. He wants you to get distracted because he knows you can't fight this battle on your own. You need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So he'll distract you. Have you ever noticed that when you start praying or you get out your Bible, maybe early in the morning, get that cup of coffee, when you start in that discipline of prayer, that discipline of reading the Word, you ever notice all these different distractions that come to your mind? Like all these different things. Like I don't know about you, but I'll think about things that I haven't thought about in weeks. Things that never came to your mind, but all of a sudden, now that you're engaging in prayer, that you're engaging in reading the Word of God, all these things come to your mind. You're thinking, I got to take care of those things right now. Like, I got to deal with those things right now. I got to stop what I'm doing. I got to go take care of those things. You know what that's called? That's called a spiritual battle. It's called spiritual warfare. And here's what I would encourage you to do. Instead of being discouraged, be encouraged. Because what it means is that you're on the offense. And listen, the devil, the enemy knows the spiritual realm. They know the power of prayer. So what it means is, hey, listen, your enemy recognizes the power you're tapping into. So don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't give up. One of my favorite pastors, Dr. Tony Evans, he talks about a story of two hunters who found out that a bounty had been placed on these wolves deep in this forest. In fact, it was a substantial bounty. It was about $5,000 per wolf. So these two hunters decided, hey, guess what? We're gonna be rich. We're gonna go out and we're gonna kill as many wolves as we can. We're gonna be rich. So they did. They gathered all their gear and they gathered their stuff and went deep into the forest. And in the middle of the night, one night, they were deep in there and all of a sudden one of the men was awoken by a growl. And so he began to get up and began to zip back his tent and he looked out and he noticed just in the moonlight all of these glaring teeth his way. And he looked out and there was about 50 wolves surrounding their tent. And this man with a smile, he goes, John, wake up, wake up. He goes, what? He goes, we're rich. Perception matters. Perception matters. Listen, man, when you're feeling the enemy, it's because you're engaging in the battle. Don't give up. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. Put on the armor of God. Grab the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and pray. Pray upward. Pray inward. Pray outward. So we're going to do something right now at all of our campuses. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to give you an opportunity to pray. So both at our 211 at Coney, our campus pastors are going to come up right now and they're going to lead you in a time of prayer. And right here, here's what I would say. Right here, God has been dealing with some people in here and you need to pray. In fact, we all should pray. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So would you just bow your heads, just close your eyes? And we're going to do something. Our prayer team is going to come down front. In just a moment, we're going to worship together. Again, praise and thanksgiving. We're going to worship upward prayer towards God. And we ask that you engage in that, you get in the battle. For some of you, listen, some of you, there needs to be some inward prayer that takes place right now. And you just need to have a time of confession. Maybe the Spirit has brought things to your attention and you need to confess that. For some of you, listen, you need to pray for others. Some of you, listen, some of you need to come down front. Our prayer team's gonna be available. You need intercession. You need someone to pray alongside of you. Maybe you're losing hope. Maybe you're losing faith and you say, would you please pray with me? And our prayer team's gonna be down front and we're gonna worship together. So Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we can go directly to your throne because of Jesus Christ. And you say in your word, we have not because we ask not. So God, we are coming to you acknowledging that you are our source of strength and power. And God, that when we engage in this battle, we do not do it alone. We do it with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.